Ya da Bibles to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. This month we are talking about evangelism. And evangelism is a privilege that every single believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has, male, female, young, and old. We can all tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. What happens after we get saved? When I mean after, I am talking about a length of time when perhaps we've been saved for a while. We're not as actively involved in telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ as we were when we first got saved. I confess that's the proper creed. Just want to put that out there. There's many different problems. There's many different reasons. But to realize it and get back to where we used to be, I think is important. I'm going to encourage you. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. We'll start in verse 24.
You can read Barebones Bible Chapel at 704-525-3183.
Before we do that, let me pray. Father, we just pray for you. To us, we pray that you would bless the reading of the words of the heart, the mind of all who are here this morning. And help us, encourage us, help me, God, in Lord Jesus. But none of these things will be all of being born because there are certain situations waiting for him to get there. He's like, hell, my life is my own. Jesus Christ. Neither count I my dear to my throne, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received in the Lord Jesus Christ, the testifier of the gospel. The grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you are my God. You won't be back. Ephesians will never see me again. Wherefore, I thank you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shown to the pure of you the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock of the which you have received to be the flock of God, which ye have purchased with his own blood. Right in this, and that which is in the flock shall reap souls, enter into you, and enter in the flock. You may be shenanigans, we don't want to be pleased, we don't want to be bad. Number two, somebody's coming, it's not going to be good. So you got to be mindful, you got to be watchful. Also, your own self shall never lie, speaking perversely and controlling his disciples. Therefore, God, remember that in the space of 3 years, he speaks not to word every night and day with tears. It was almost like a painful certainty that he had faces with all teachers who would be. Teaching false doctrine. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, able to grow you to give you an inheritance among men which are sanctified. Very last thing he told the Ephesian elders before he left his death, I will see you again, but you now are watching. There are false teachers coming. With an exhortation like that, with an authority, with an exhortation like that, from Paul, what would you do?
Well,
Get your out together, right? You start reading the scriptures and make sure that you know the word, because you knew, he knew that it was coming. And so we wanted to be mindful, you wanted to be watchful, as he instructed us to do, we're going to be watching for this to come. And that's good. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, we'll start in verse 1. Let me try to get there. And it says unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things saith he, that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven candlesticks. Listen to this. This is the Ephesian. Listen. The Ephesus. Yes? I know the words. He doesn't. And thy labor, and thy patience, and how heavy you bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and declare them to be liars, be obedient. And Paul instructed them to do. They were coming, they got ready, they saw them. They called him to the assembly, right? At first glance, pretty cool assembly, right? Apologetic, experts, right? They do the work. They can tell them all teacher right away. They can stand right up. Good stuff. And has borne and has patience for anointing that they have taken and has not waited. Just get better. Nevertheless, I have something to give thee, because thou hast the one your first love. You don't have to have this going on for you, because when they do forgiving and preaching, hopefully you want to be here back and forth, being forced to use me. So this will be something for you. So please be. What I need is, and the assemblies, is that you have two places. You have an assembly that is rock solid on the word of God. Heavenly is the proprietor, defenders of the faith. I mean, every time somebody makes that happen, you can see your community just grows. But they lack a love for the gospel. Evangelism doesn't go burning across the street. You don't know why. You don't know why you're doing something like that. You can't sleep. What you do is that they're on the side, and yet they have this truth. They know everything that's broken. They know what's They preach the good stuff from the pulpit. And yet, when the day is over and the doors close, it doesn't go outside. Then you don't sell yourself. And when they are just thrown the gospel of Jesus Christ, I mean, they are in the beaches. I mean, they are in the They're in the universities, they're in our young people in there, they're in the retiring groups, they're in just preaching the gospel. For every reason, the gospel seems to be the only thing that we want to do. Not anything. But in Acts chapter 20, that he said that he counseled them with all the counsel of God. The gospel is important. The word of God is important. The whole counsel of God, the teachings of the Old and New Testament are important. Jesus Christ can be seen from Genesis all the way to Revelation and be there too. So there seems to be, you got these churches which have come about the gospel of Jesus Christ, Christ. But hey, you know, it's not, you know, all this doctrinal stuff. Mormons love it, though. And so we don't want to get into the very doubt. Jesus says, you know, he knows this. He's telling you that's true. You can't have a Mormon faith when you don't have a something in Ephesians. Something clearly, and not only the fact of that. Where's the Ephesian church today? The rock is tall. Where is it? Come. Why? The Lord warned them. So it not only affects the believers, the elders, the entire area of Genesis. It affects the Lord. Jesus said, you have forgotten your first spot. What does that mean? That you're teaching what is teaching and the subject of Jesus Christ and everything else? In the beginning, that everyone knew me at this particular point. Remember, he said, look what it says, nevertheless, I am not so damned because thou hast left thy first love. So, if he's pointing out a first love, there must be a second. They love the word of God. They love teaching the scripture. But at the expense of their love for Jesus Christ. Is that even possible? Look at what Jesus said. I mean, that assembly had all the ingredients, right? You go into an assembly, you're looking for a church, you got your list, but Jesus says this is a church that's missing. You've forgotten the first love. Is it possible to function as a Christian? Is it possible to function as a church? Is it possible to function as an oversight in an assembly and not and forget your first love? What does it even mean to forget your first love? You forget books when you first got saved. And you know what's the first thing that God does? Somehow you forget where you've been. And look at what the counsel of Christ was. Remember verse 5. If you want to remember something, remember this. Remember what God has taught our fallen and repentant. Listen, and do the best works. He says, you got to return to the basic thing. So maybe they were watching out for these false teachers, and they were starting their little empty hand to be raised up, and they just started zooming on that person. And then they just watched this one thing at a time. So. You're so focused on these things that the words just come and go and come and go. Is it possible that you can remove your, not the ability, but the gospel of Jesus as a believer that's been saved? I'm going to tell you firsthand, yes. Yes, I can. Yes, I have. And yes, I had to come to a place in my life. Now, you got to be careful because you can come to that point in the conversation. You know, I haven't really been evangelizing. I haven't been preaching the gospel. So now I'm going to be preaching the gospel. I'm going to be heading to the other end of the spectrum. And you compromise the theological truth. For the sake of the lost. But you need to give it. There's a time and place. I remember when I first got saved, the guys that we were with, Tommy, Craig, a bunch of guys, and You know, I told him, I said, listen, he said, why don't you forget about you? Listen, I told you. Let's get into it. We're going to have a Bible study. And I got saved, and I learned the gospel, and I started learning the truth. And once I started learning the truth, and was evangelizing, then, you know, I was very clear in what the place to find it. I knew that me and me were going church shopping for a while until I found somebody inside. And I was looking for, as a new believer, I was looking for two things. The Bible. It is the final authority in that particular chapel. And evangelism. Now, listen, not everybody's an evangelist. I'm going to give you that. Not everybody is an evangelist. There are some guys, there's all kinds of ways to evangelize. You can often have a commentary field or Genesis and Revelation. You can use creationism. You can use the fall, living water, great things. There's all kinds of problems. So, you know, all kinds of problems, and there are all kinds of ways to evangelize. But you've got to remember where you came from, Sir Jesus. Listen. Remember how you got saved. Every single believer in this chapel has this one thing in common. We all got things. You put your faith and trust that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and that he rose again on the third day. The Bible says that if you believe that, thou shalt be saved. That's how you've been saved. It's not because, you know, you went to church, it's not because you joined, you know, the Navigator or, you know, Promise Keepers or whatever was out there. But it's because you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for some of us, current situation when we first got saved was connected. Some of us it was drugs, some of us was violence, some of us was this, some of us was that. But every single one of us had to come to a realization that we were sinners. Regardless of you were living in the darkest of dark, or you live with a Christian family, and you live just a decision on your own, it doesn't make a difference. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you got saved. For some of us, we were half to trunk. I mean, we were jumping. As for me, I just could not stop preaching the gospel. I love hanging out with witnesses. I used to chase them down. Because, listen, this it's kind of funny, and it's kind of dumb. I ran into them, and I literally chased them down the car. Any time I could get my hands on one, I would do my very best to kind of get them out. Nothing was happening. It was. I was more concerned with being than with getting them. It's a trap. It happens. Listen, you just get overly zealous about, you know, especially when you get into apologetics, because the Bible is so true. It's not even funny. It's so clear as day that you just want to smack it upside somebody's head. Can't you see? You know, it's so excited about it. But then eventually it happens. You can use it defensively and defensively. How? Because you don't care about that person's eternal state. You just want to change their state. Something happened to the Asian church where they were more concerned about finding the benefit than doing. They did everything right. And see the list. It was good. But they forgot their first love. When your excitement, and I'm not going to say what this is, I'm just saying this as your a revelation that God has given you about Jesus Christ. That begins to diminish. The excitement of one day going to heaven begins to diminish. Something happens between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Your love for him has been. It's true. But it's not as exciting for me as it used to be. I'll give you an example. Marriage. If you're not careful, you remember when you were escaping. You remember when you were dating and stuff, and you were engaged and stuff. And you know, you remember this great time that you would have made yourself the least that you'll be out of the bar in the kitchen with that 20-foot special cord. And so often, and so I would talk to her and think of the kitchen. And so the following week, it was me dead. I mean, we would just talk for hours. I remember the days that we were talking, but I didn't get to know you. We were there was that excitement. When you get married, you've been married for years. You have to be very careful not to lose that enthusiasm. Listen, if the counseling table was so saturated, you hope you're having questions. But it does happen. In the church, it happens where after a while, you don't love your people. It's not that you don't love your people. You're just not excited about it as you do. It happens. So what do you do? You have to remember what it used to be, and bring it back. Evangelism, the gospel itself, is easy. It's not, that's what I love about it. He gives us such an incredible, deep, and powerful theological concept, and he makes it so simple that he can reach out. And to tell people what Jesus did for me, how I got saved. So I tell you, this is the gospel. I want this chapter 10, verse 19. You can just tell them, this is our plan, this is the solution, and this is what Jesus Christ did. This satisfies. And the gospel can be anywhere between 5 and if you're really, really nervous, it might take you 15. But it's not. It's the great one of the world. Even when you're nervous and scared, and you don't have a good glass of your stomach, you know, there's nothing you can think of. And the spirit, you know, the spirit is just yelling at you. And it just spins out of your hair so many. God, you use it. It gets easier. The opposite is also true. You don't believe. It gets smart. It gets harder. And it gets weaker. Be very mindful that there is a good balance. Knowing the scriptures. Knowing the word of God. And really giving people the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have to have that influence. Like I said, not everybody has the gift of evangelism, but every single believer has the responsibility. You are indebted to the gospel. You owe them the gospel of Jesus Christ. God comes to give us a great commission. I remember the person that preached that on the altar, and he said he had a great commission. It was from the 12 disciples alone. there's a single person in this room that hasn't first, it's nerve-wracking and so uncomfortable, and the butterflies in your stomach and your head on you will be hidden. And you let in a little excitement, man. Just a little excitement. You don't want to be decent. The way that the Lord said, no, it's just exciting. When you get that opportunity and you execute, you get a little more excitement. Now, what does that mean for this? This week, purpose in your heart. Family, friend, neighbor, you reach to purpose in your heart. It's a one person. Just one. Could be a little friend, a little somebody that would be judgmentally critical. This would be a good one. Or maybe a difficult person, whatever. Person. You know what that means? That when we all next week, about 52 people will have heard the gospel. Right? 52 people can hear the gospel by next Sunday. And if you listen, I'm not going to say that 52 people are going to be paid. I'm going to tell you that. And each one has at least committed to telling one person the gospel. That means you can give somebody the gospel today that you can give them next week. You know, it's almost that there might be somebody sitting here. Don't sit there. They're sitting here. They have to give to the evangelist. You probably don't like it. It's uncomfortable giving the gospel. It's a fact. Believe it or not, like it or don't like it. It's a fact. Well, we should be uncomfortable because we should be filled with the Holy Spirit and we should be. I get it. Because you're gifted an evangelist, you can't even possibly conceive why you would not give somebody the gospel. And this makes sense to you. It just doesn't compete. You don't get it. You understand? I don't give it to you. But there's sometimes when I just I couldn't give somebody the gospel and hesitate or anything. All the time. That happens to me. If this is you, just do it. And stop. That's it. Be very careful. Acts, the book of Acts, all told, the Ephesian elders, be very careful. Get doctrine set. False teachers are coming. Well, in Revelation, by the time of Revelation came along, Jesus was saying, you did all that. You have the first thing. When your Jesus Christ begins to witness to evangelism, your love for evangelism must know. You know, one of the very evangelistic of your love for Jesus Christ, not that you don't love him, but that the love is being finished, the excitement of the Lord Jesus Christ and the relationship is being finished, is that your son. That's a checkmark. You know, listen, I'm not ready to judge. I have the rules. But it's a checkmark for me. It's not being ashamed. I'm not telling you about Jesus Christ. Am I ashamed of the gospel? Am I not walking back with you? Am I afraid to give somebody the gospel because they're going to look at me as an enemy? You're just trying to get it. Or is it because you don't know, I'm giving myself over to too many things that you should be doing? Or whatever it is, you can get this. That's between me and you. But what I know for the future of Jack is that Jesus knows. He knows if you have fallen from that certain state. And you know what? He says, remember, if you have come, that's good news. That means you will come. Just get back to it. You know, now, once you get back to it and you get things, you'll see him. Then you leave. It's the gospel, very good, and the excitement of the gospel. The minute you start talking about the gospel, your excitement in Jesus Christ, it'll start to change. It's almost like that'll be a personal reflection.
Like, you look back to those days when you first got saved. You, Jesus, when you didn't care who you were talking to, and you didn't care what they would see, it will prove you all in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we pour you and we just so thankful for all those instructions to the Ephesian elders. Without you, we have to be careful and monitor, be vigilant. You consistently said that in the scripture. Paul has written it also. But Lord, you're also mindful of those that forgot the first one. You can be so doctrinally sound and yet look and almost feel so dead because that excitement for Jesus Christ is just not there. It's just not giving the gospel. Lord, help us. Some of us, Lord, are braver than others. Some of us have thicker skin than others. Some of us are gifted evangelism. Some of us are not. I pray for each and every one of us, myself included, would help us to give the gospel of Jesus Christ to one person this week. It would be great to be 100, one person. And help us, Lord God, to once again rekindle that excitement for the gospel of Jesus Christ, to see somebody get saved. It would be incredible. Bring unbelievers to the chapel. Help us, Lord God, to stop them. Help us, Lord God, to give them the gospel. And if there's somebody here that is not saved this morning, have not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, or does has no idea that they're going to have eternal life, I pray that they would have somebody. And they would at least consider these things, that life is fleeting. It's like a breath. Just happens one second and gone the next. And so I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that that person, those persons, will get saved today. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.